was amiss. Divorce creeping on us because our lives were so unstable, and even if we were willing alone, we were not able to shake the devil off our backs and turn to God and say, Lord, I give you all my life, and he could have saved us that very day. But we didn't turn, or he didn't call, or something wasn't right. See, I think God needed more for the story of our life. See, we struggled and battled, and we fought, and we groaned with each other in our home. We tore each other far apart until fall came around, and that was when our marriage hit the bottom ground. That divorce word kept coming up time and time again, and I was losing my husband and my children and my friend. The devil was winning, but this isn't his story, so remember, my friends, to God be the glory. I went to church one Sunday with a friend and a pain, and I listened to her story, and God tried to keep me sane. I cried all the way home listening to Matthew West. 30 minutes of Strong Enough, and it opened up my chest, and I found God inside of there. He'd been there all along, but I found him in Strong Enough, the lyrics to a song. Now, miles away in a different state, my husband sat at the base of a cross. On the top of a mountain, growing closer to God, our love was not a loss. He made the choices to change his life, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and now, on our wall, a picture of that cross is stored. Still 2 days until we would talk, having no idea the changes. It's awesome how our God works and the things that he arranges. Hurt and anger still in my heart as my phone received the text. Never would I imagine the things that I was going to read next. I cried to the Lord in disbelief that this was too good to be true. So I begged him, Lord, show me a sign and tell me that this is you. My husband texted me again and again the things that I needed to hear. And when the next Sunday came around, the devil began to fear, because we walked as husband and wife into church and sat. Now, God put us where we needed to be, but that wasn't the end of that. Our story kept on building, and life was getting weary. And when Christmas came around, life was downright dreary. A few weeks later, Beau moved out, and divorce papers were drawn. Our family now was separated, but the love was never gone. We'd see each other occasionally on Sundays in our seats, and pain would strike the both of us whenever our eyes would meet. The next few months were ugly, and the devil played his games. But now we'd given our heart to the Lord, so this time it wasn't the same. We didn't have to play alone. God helped us every day. We didn't always listen, but God always paved the way. God knew what we were supposed to do, and when it went awry, he'd say to us, now listen, kids, and we'd give it another try. Attempts to file divorce papers, intervened by the one above. We had 5 attempts to separate, all hindered by God's love. Snowstorms hindered some attempts, and a truck that wouldn't start. And on the last attempt, God switched the papers and the feelings in our heart. And that night, I got a picture of our papers up in flames. A divorce was not what we wanted. We wanted the same last names. We eased into our friendship, led by the one true king, and hand in hand to that altar, we gave him everything. We prayed for help. We gave God praise, and we felt every emotion. We gave the Lord our marriage, our lives, and our devotion. And 6 months after it fell apart, we started to repair, and we moved back into a house that God wanted us to share. Now let me tell you before you think, oh, everything is great. The devil still comes in and tries to stir up some of that hate. But what we know now that we didn't know then is when the devil starts to show up, we call upon our friend. And sometimes we're quick to call, and he shows up really fast. But other times we err to human side, and he's who we call last. Now life's always going to give us troubles, because not everyone believes. But God is always good, and the devil always deceives. Now don't think you have to do it on your own. You don't. You've never had to. Just turn to God. He's always there, saying, child, I've always loved you. There's more to this story, but for time's sake, I left it out. To sum it up, without God's love, we didn't know what life was about. So if you're at a spot at your wit's end and life can't seem to get worse, don't first turn to medication or a doctor or a nurse. Call upon the name of the one who died and rose again, because he's always there, he's waiting, and he always calls you friend.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Wagler, and while I was praying down here, God told me to just share a brief little testimony. And since I was a little girl, I've had fear, just fear of everything, always scared, always hearing things like Pastor heard, and immediately turned to fear. And I've been sharing in my Wednesday night class about the fear and how I've been climbing this mountain, and when I think I'm almost at the top, I just slide back down. And one of my fellow brothers in Christ said, God did not call us to climb those mountains. He called us to remove them. So I want to stand here today, and with you guys as my witness, I'm going to remove that mountain of fear in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Good job. Win the victory. I don't know how to turn that off. Well, I said a few minutes ago we needed to have victory, and you just heard two reports. So if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, but that won't work in my world, that will work in your world. Wow. You know what? Boy, if we could orchestrate and plan services to be like today, we'd do it every week. We can't. It doesn't work that way. God is good. We don't sit around and say, hey, you know what would be really cool? No, it doesn't work that way. God is trying to send a message. I don't know who or how many who's, but God is trying to send a message today. Last Sunday morning, I delved off and started kind of like not quoting but just referring. Well, it's my sermon today, and I apologize to you. I shouldn't do that. Don't venture far from your notes. Just stick with the sermon. But I didn't, so you might hear something today that you heard last week while I was somewhat on a rant or something. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you were here, you might remember I said it's either chapter 1 or chapter 10, and it could be both. And it is. So that's where we're at. I'm going to need my water, baby. Thank you. Not a long sermon, but I just needed it. So, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Woo! Sorry. That didn't move you good enough. I'm going to tell you what. If we're talking about the book of Exodus. We're talking about the Old Testament, and it says Jesus was right there. You ought to get a little bit excited because he's right here too. Bah, wow. So, verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Glory to God. Wow. Get on board. Don't be scattered in the wilderness. Get on board. Father, Lord, this has been an amazing day already. Your Spirit has come with power and great glory. And Lord, I believe some people, I believe Carrie and Bo, and I believe Dorothy just did it, kicked the devil and said, I'm not playing with your games. You take your marbles and go home. And Jesus told us all, if you say to this mountain, be ye removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Lord, that is what just happened. I praise you, God, for who you are. I praise you for what you're doing in the midst of our church people and our family. But Lord, the reality is it has to be done individually. We cannot corporately do this. We can pray corporately, but individually, the battle has to be won individually in our own hearts and minds. Help us this morning to understand that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we've been on baptism, and so this is called Baptism is About More Than Water. This passage has a much larger spiritual meaning when we talk about Moses in the Old Testament and Jesus in the Old Testament, we got to know Paul is trying to tell us something that we may not be getting easily. So we're just going to launch into this. Baptism into Moses actually points to commitment. All baptism should point to commitment. That's what I'm really preaching about today, so that I don't have like a punchline or it'll get you at the end. If you are not committed, boy, we ought to sing I Surrender All. That would be... that. And we talked about all in Sunday school this morning. Does all mean all or just a lot? Does all mean all or does it mean most of it? Does it mean I get to hold back one little thing? I love this illustration. It's a dumb one, but you'll get it. Let's say you buy a house, and you go into the house, and you move into the house, and there's a stairway, and around the back of it, there's a door, and it's only about that high because the stairway's here, but there's a padlock on that door. And you ask the real estate agent, what's that padlock on there for? And the lady goes, I don't know. We never really talked about that with the homeowners. I'm not sure. I'll find out and let you know what the padlock's for. And so you move your stuff in, and you're sleeping one night, and you hear somebody in your house. And you're pretty sure there's somebody in your house. So you get up and you go downstairs, and there's the previous homeowners unlocking that padlock with a key and going into the closet where they still have some stuff. And you go, excuse me, what are you doing? And they said, well, we always use this for storage, so we thought it'd be okay if we just kept using it. So we saved back a key to the front door, and we just thought we'd run in when we needed stuff and get it out of our storeroom. How happy are you right now? Huh? How happy are you right now with that former homeowner who says, we wanted to reserve the right to save a little bit of space? How many of you right now know where I'm going? So you go to an altar of prayer and you sing I Surrender All, and you say, God, I want to give you all of me. And God moves in, and he's walking around his new house, and he's looking, and he comes to a door with a lock on it in your heart. And he says, what's this all about? And you say, oh, Lord, you know, I do have some things from my past that I'm storing in there. You don't have to worry about it. Just if I want to, I want to be able to unlock that and be reminded of those things. Is God happy right now? Is God happy? Do you do that to God? Reserve one little thing? I surrender all, folks, means I surrender all. You got to give him all, or he will say, you know what? I can't go through with this sale. You would do the same thing if you bought a house and they reserved the right to part of that house. You'd say, this sale has fallen through, and God would too. Now, that has nothing to do with this sermon, except it has everything to do with this sermon. So, let's go. Baptism into Moses points to commitment. I do not want you to be unaware how that our fathers were in the cloud and they passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, I'm just going to go back to the book of Exodus and read like three verses of scripture that I think will help you. If you're bored already, just go read Exodus 19. You'll enjoy that too. Here they are. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now Moses did take people, you have to read that, Aaron or Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I couldn't remember Joshua's name. Moses would take either Aaron or Joshua when he would go up, but they never talked. This was about Moses. And Moses would go up, and the cloud would come down, and Moses would be in the cloud with God. Then he would come down and give the message. The people would hear but they wouldn't know until Moses told them. Verse 23, then Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. So they were not allowed, only Moses. So they were baptized into the relationship with God through Moses. Moses in the Old Testament is what we call a type of Christ. Type there meaning typology, picture. Moses was a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. So the people were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So they're under Moses. Moses has a relationship with God, but God says, no, they can't come up here. You've got to be that for them. Kind of crazy. Now, here's a term. Maybe you haven't heard it. It's a little more modern. And I'm into the modern teenage speech. You know, I like to let the teens know that I'm hip with what's going on in their world. Groovy. Y'all with me? Y'all come on. Y'all with me? Groovy. How about if I say all in? Do y'all ever use that terminology? If somebody says, hey, we're going here or there, I'm all in. Maybe even that's a y'all stinking kids. Y'all are just children. Man, I am so out of touch. That's why we have Harold. Harold is not out of touch. He has to relate to them. I just mess with them. They go home and laugh, and they go, that preacher's old. He's old, and they're right. How many of you have ever heard the term all in? Meaning, I'm all in. All in. Not part in, not some in, not most of the way in, not there's a closet under the stairs that I keep locked up, but I am all in. All in is what God asked the Israelites to be through Moses. He said, whatever Moses tells you to do, do it, because I'm telling him, you got to get all in, totally committed. This is about commitment. That's what the people were saying to Moses, and that's what we need to say to Jesus. We're all in. All in is, by the way, the definition of baptize. Baptismo. It means to fully immerse. That's what it means. To be all in. There's all kinds of baptism jokes you can tell, but one of my favorites is the Baptist and the Methodist were arguing about baptism one day, and the Baptist guy was saying, you guys don't immerse in water. That don't count. That doesn't work. And so the Methodist was talking back to the Baptist, and he said, well, if you're standing waist deep in water, man, isn't that enough? Aren't you baptized? He said, no, that's not good enough. He said, well, what about if you go down to like to your shoulders? Isn't that good enough? He said, no, you got to be all in. And so the guy says, so what you do then is push them under until you get to the top of their head. He said, that's right. He said, that's what we do, put water on the top of their head. You say, some of them are going, I didn't get that. Good. Because it's a joke. Wow, see, all in, friends, has got to mean all in. That's what the definition is. Baptized, by the way, tonight I'm preaching baptism after baptism. You really ought, I mean, you've heard three sermons now. You ought to come back tonight and get that one, because that's, I'm going to explain it even further. But I'm just telling you this morning, baptism into Moses was good for Israel in the Old Testament. And even with that, God was not well pleased with many of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. So baptism into Moses was not an adequate salvation. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. Now, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Wow. It's kind of strange, but we'll keep going. All right. So their baptism was dry, sort of. Right? We talked about this last week. Charlton Heston, was that his name? That's the guy that played Moses? Stood there with that flintlock rifle. No, wait. That's when he was in the NRA. I love that. That just makes me laugh. I just picture the guy. Same guy. Holds up the rod. We talked about Rod Hutt last week a little bit. Held Rod up. And the sea parted, and all the Israelites, now they thought they were done for because the Egyptian army was behind them and could easily crush them. And Moses, for whatever reason, had led them down to the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, turned just around the corner of the tip of the Sinai Peninsula where the Red Sea is. The Red Sea, good grief. What time is it? All right, I got 30 seconds. Go to the back of your Bible, find your maps, find the Exodus, and if you find where they crossed the Red Sea after church, you bring that and show it to me. Because I've never seen a map in the back of a Bible that shows the crossing of the Red Sea. That's so against the Word of God, I don't know what to think. But I'm telling you, they crossed the Red Sea into Saudi Arabia. That's where Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. Hello, but I ain't got time for that. They crossed the Red Sea, parted it, crossed over. The Egyptians came. I love those theologians who say, well, we believe that that's actually the Sea of Reeds and that they left Egypt during the dry season, and so the Sea of Reeds was dried up and they just walked across on dry ground. The believer, the man who believed the Word of God, said, wow, what a great miracle that was. And the old liberal theologian said, there was no miracle there, son. They didn't cross on dry ground. He said, no, I don't mean that. I mean all those Egyptians who drowned in the Sea of Reeds. Some of you now are going to have to go read that. They crossed the Red Sea from Sinai Peninsula into Saudi Arabia. That's where they went. That's where Mount Sinai is. And they crossed on dry ground. And then the armies of Egypt rushed in, walls of water on both sides, and God said, I need to stop and get a breath. Uh-oh. He didn't really. He closed the lake back in on them and killed them all. Killed that army. Dead bodies floating. And whew. Who got wet? The Egyptian army. Who died? The Egyptian army. Who got baptized in the sea? The Jewish people. Who got wet of the Jews? Nobody. They crossed on dry ground. Their baptism was dry, but it was a baptism just the same because that commitment that said, we will go even when we're scared to death because there's water on both sides of us and we've got to walk through this thing. 600,000 plus people. Plus. So, let's go now. We talked about it last week, so I just covered it again, a little deeper probably. Baptized into Moses was totally symbolic of Christ because Moses was a type of Christ. I already said that. So, Paul now, we're back in 1 Corinthians, Paul does not want there to be confusion between his ministry and the people like there was with Moses and the people. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, that's Peter, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or are you being baptized in the name of Paul? The answer is no. No. You don't get baptized into a church. I don't say that being critical, because I know there are churches that the way you join the church is to be baptized in the name of Jesus into the church. We don't do that. Getting baptized in this church will not get you membership into this church. It's not supposed to. Water baptism is a sign that says, I put my faith in Jesus, and I'm doing this publicly as a way of saying that. That's what it's about. Paul does not want the people to think that being baptized into Paul or some other preacher, the Jewish people were baptized into Moses, but Christ was nearby. Now, I said their baptism was dry, sort of. I love this picture. Christ was nearby. This was hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, but the birth of Jesus only signified his birth to a woman. It did not signify the beginning of his existence. Now, I might leave somebody out right here. Jesus Christ is the very essence of God. He is God, incarnate in the flesh, but He is pre-eternally existent. While you ponder that word, I'm going to have a sip. Jesus was in the beginning with God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word is Jesus there. Jesus was in the beginning with God. Although He came in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, to the earth as a human man, He has always been the incarnate God, God in the flesh, so that when we were made in His image, that's whose image we were made in, the image of Christ. I can't stay there too long. All I'm telling you was, Jesus was before Jesus, the Son of Mary. Jesus was before. Jesus is anytime God shows up in the Old Testament, it's going to be Jesus. You remember that? Abraham sitting at the under the terebinth tree at Mamre, I believe, and he sees three men coming toward him, and he instantly knows, man, I don't know who those guys are, but they look very important to me. And he gets up and he tells one of his servants, go kill a calf quick and start cooking it. Make some fresh butter, get some milk out of the stream, bake some cakes. And then he sits down and they get there and he says, here, have a seat, man. And he says, sorry, we don't have anything, but I'll see if we can scrounge something up. Go read it. It's really hilarious. They sit down and they eat. One of them tells Sarah, she's inside the tent and they're at the door of the tent, and he says, I'm going to come back in about a year from now and there'll be laughter in that tent because your wife's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughs in her heart and says, surely not. I'm too old. So she comes out and he says, what were you laughing in there for? She said, I did not laugh. He said, I tell you, you did. So I want you to name your son Laughter. Pam! That's Jesus. That was Jesus, the incarnate God, sitting there talking to Abraham. So, whoo, y'all ready? Don't run. Don't run. But you're about to, because I got chill bumps. Jesus is talking to some Pharisees, and they say, we have Father Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I know him. Before Abraham was, I am. Woo! Are you with me? See, Jesus was remembering the day he sat in the tent door of Abraham, talking to him and telling him, woo, before Abraham was, I am. I am is God's name. Oh, y'all, are y'all here? Does that not bless y'all just a little bit? I mean, just a tiny little bit? Be blessed knowing that this same God who sent His Son to die on a cross invites you and I into a relationship with Him. But we got to get committed about it. Don't sit in here like knots on logs and then go out there and live like knots on logs. Golly, I got to go. We got to preach this sermon. Woo! So, you know the story. Moses has got the staff. He's walking. People are murmuring, complaining. Should have stayed in Egypt. I kind of like leeks and onions. Moses out here. We gonna might as well. What were there not enough graveyards in Egypt? Growling and complaining. Finally, Moses, he's holding that staff like a baseball bat, and says, God says, no, no, you can't do that. He says, no, but I want to. He says, go over to that rock and touch the rock with the staff. Just lay it right on there. Water will come forth. Whew. You know what he did? He said, yeah, finally. I'm going to hit that rock and I'm going to see that. He pictured a good Jewish leader and he smacked that rock. God wasn't happy because he said, that's my son there you just hit with. Because Jesus was the rock. So did the Bible not say it? That rock was Christ. The water came out, but they didn't baptize people in it. The rock of Christ was their provision for water. I'm telling you this morning that if you will keep Jesus close to you by being all in, whatever you need, He is your provider. He's right there. He may be in the form of a rock. He won't be now. That's in the Old Testament. He will be in the form of Jesus. But He will meet your need if you're all in. We want to be not all in, but Him still be the provider. Isn't that strange? Oh, Lord, I know I failed you this week, but I need a little extra blessing. And He goes, I'm sorry? Who are you again? You know, Lord, I know, Lord, I don't always do what I should, but I need you to still be God and do for me whether I do for you or not. He said, I'll scatter your bodies in the wilderness. You either get all in or you might as well get all out. Is that preaching right there? I couldn't wait to get down here. We had a great Sunday school. Man. All right, so now we have us a spiritual picture. Jesus in the Old Testament. Spiritual picture. Let's take it back to the New Testament. Can't miss the application. Can't miss the spiritual application. 1 Corinthians 10, 5 and 11. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. But now let's go to verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Wow. Now, I didn't read them all, but if you read 6 through 10, he just lists times that the Israelites got in trouble. 6 through 10, he just listed times that they got in trouble. And sometimes he actually said how many were killed. Other times he just said many of them died. Friends, we need to get out of the sinning business and get in with God. We need to realize greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. All in means all in. Not part in, not some in, not most of the way in. God's got to be pleased with 80%, doesn't He? God. Wow. Tons of illustrations come to my head, and I'm not going to use any of them. But let's just say, I'll use one. Let's just say you work, let's say, in a factory, and you go to work and you put in 40 hours and they pay you $15 an hour, and, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. You make $550 a week, I think. I don't know. But we'll make that up. And let's say you get your check, and they have their taxes, and they have your insurance, and they have your 401K, and then they take out 14% for the company because they just don't really want to pay you full pay. Would that not make you get blessed? Would that not just bless your heart to say, glory to God, the company's keeping a little extra. Praise God. No, you know what you would say? You would run to your boss. I have been that guy. And I had to listen to complaints about people's paychecks, and I usually had the right answer. But we would say, what's that about? Well, you know, come on, 100%. Nobody does 100%. You don't really work 100%. So we're going to start withholding what we think is fair. You would not stay there. And yet you want God to give you His 100%, but you don't give Him your 100%. Wow. All in or part in? I got to calm down. I'm going to go jump in the lake just to calm. It's liable to boil around me. It's just liable to just boil. Wow. So baptism today is a symbolic representation of a spiritual reality. And it means all in. That's what it means. So let's say you get baptized in order to join a church. Are you baptized into Christ or into the church? It depends on whether or not you're all in for Christ. You might be in the church, but not all in for Christ. He wants you all into Him. Let's say you love your pastor. Amen. I heard an amen down. Thank you. I said, he's old, and I got to pity him a little. Let's say you love your pastor, and he preaches on baptism, and you think, I'm going to please the pastor and get baptized. Are you all in for Christ, or are you all in for the pastor? See, that was what Paul was facing. people were arguing over who's the more important preacher that baptized you. I got baptized by Paul. I got baptized by Apollos. Well, I got baptized by Peter, and he knew Jesus very well. And Jesus, Paul's freaking out, going, check the wrist, no nail scars. You got the wrong guy. The person who shoves you underwater, the only thing you want to know is, can he get me up? That's all you really want to know. I just tell people, I can stretch that coat out, I can get you out of that water. If I leave you under there, I did it on purpose. Just so are you being baptized for Christ or to please a man? See, that Paul talked about the very same thing. So let's wrap it up. There is a spiritual baptism that is far more important than water baptism. The thing that is lacking in the church today are people being all in for Christ. And I watched a woman say this about her own daughter. Well, I don't want her to become all radical. I don't want her to just think church is all there is. What? I don't want my children to become so radical for Jesus that they don't do other things that I think are more important. Wow. Don't take Jesus too serious. Man, you could like go to heaven or something. Jeez. The day is quickly approaching when we will wish we had been all in, when everything else will become unimportant. That's how this closes, by the way. Did you notice in verse 11? These are written for our admonition, warning, alarm. Those of us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I'm a little closer than these guys right down here. I'm closer to the end of my age, but all of us are getting closer. We're 1 week closer to the return of Christ than last Sunday when I stood right here. He's coming back, and you will desperately wish you had been all in. I'm going to tell you this morning, I love the picture of water baptism. And in our church, while I believe the Romans chapter 6 buried with him in baptism, that's a great picture, but I do not believe that it is even the most accurate in the day of Jesus. Jesus had not died. Jesus was not dead. They did not understand burying him, being buried with him in his death, because they didn't even know who he was yet. So I believe the most proper picture of baptism is one of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because God told John, the one upon whom you see me pour out my spirit, he is the one. So pouring is also a good method of baptism. And we got a really freaky, crazy, neat thing today. There are two people in this room. Charlie, come on down here, man. There are two people in this room right now. Our church was begun or founded in 1943. Three couples started the Moravia Church of the Nazarene. One of them was Carol Martin's parents. She grew up here. Her parents were charter members. The other couple, I don't know, their kids probably are long gone from here. But there's one guy, his parents were also charter members of this church. So two of the three families that started our church are represented today. This is Charlie Johnson. Some of you know him. Turn this way a little bit. Shoot. Face that direction. Charlie Johnson's parents were charter members of this church, and Charlie is going to be baptized today. Isn't that crazy? I was up at his house, and he said, I don't know if I can get down to the beach with those little wheels on my walker. I said, we're not even going to find out if you can get down, because it's a long way. And I said, how about this? How about you come down to the front of the church and we'll just pour water on you? Now, I'm not a big sprinkling guy. I'm not opposed. I have done that in cases, but I'm more of a pouring guy. And I told him that, so he's come prepared. He's got a towel. We're going to wrap his shoulders in it. We're ready. This was planned. Everything else we do maybe isn't, but this was planned. He ran Barber Supply, so I'm guessing this is a barber towel. I want him to stay dry because it's not my goal to get him wet. Charlie, I want you to just share very briefly why you asked me to baptize you today. They can hear you. Get it up close.
I just want to thank God for dying on the cross so I could be saved or whatever. Yeah.
He told me, he said, I got to say that out loud. I said, yeah, you kind of need to. So I don't need that anymore. A couple of years now, Charlie went through some really tough times, physical problems, and we tried to be there, and we've prayed with him many, many times, and I cannot tell you what it means to me today that he requested water baptism to tell you what he just said. And we prayed in the hospital up in Des Moines. I was pretty confident that God had drawn Charlie up close to himself, but I wanted to hear him say it, and I wanted you to hear him say it. So having said that, Charlie, it's a great privilege. I'm going to have you tilt your head back just a little so this catches you. I baptize you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as my brother in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you felt the presence of God today? If you felt God in this place today, I want you to stand up. And we're going to be dismissed with that. If you know Charlie, I want you to come shake his hand and bless him today. And I appreciate this started our baptismal service. We're going to continue it at the lake. Y'all come. All right? Father God, go with us now. We have more to do today. We're not done. We're just started. A great day in Christ. Father, bless us. Bless Charlie, God, for the decision he has made to publicly state his faith in you. God, help us all to be all in for Jesus and for his sake. Go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen.